The message last week was from chapter 3 of Colossians and verse 5. I mentioned to you that the message was two parts, or is two parts. And when we get to the next section, starting at verse 12, we're going to have another two-part message. This is critical in the mind of Paul for his readers, because his readers needed to hear exactly what he's communicating. But I think it's critical for you and I too, because every time the Word of God is opened, there's a sense of it being critical for us. This is how we find out who God is, the triune God. But it's also where we find out, as believers, how are we to live in the world in which we find ourselves. It was relevant then. It's equally relevant for us now. Phil's message this morning talked about grumbling. Paul is going to pick up on our words and how we use our words in the message tonight. Last week we looked at verse 5 under two headings: what Paul wants his readers to do and things that need to be put to death. That theme of putting to death is in verses 6 through 11. There's going to be three headings tonight. The first one is, and it's found in verses 6 and 7, why these things need to be put to death. You see, when he talks about putting to death, there's a reason behind it. Why do they need to be put to death? The second point is, more drastic action is required. And the third point is this: put off the old self and put on the new self. More drastic action is verses 8 and 9. And put off the old self and put on the new self is also found in the latter part of verse 9, verse 11. Let me read to you chapter 3 of Colossians, verses 5 through 11. Those who have ears, let us hear the word of God. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On the count of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these, you too once walked, when you were living in them. But now, you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Our Father God, I want to thank you so much for this part of your word. Father, it's going to be critical. Everything is critical. But Father, we're going to be dealing with our speech. And we heard about that this morning, how horrendous it is to be a grumbler. and what grumbling can do within the church. So, Father, what we heard this morning, may we put off that. And if we are guilty of it, Father, may you convict us to the end, that we would speak words of encouragement in place of that. And now, Father, as we look at this portion of Scripture, help me to be clear and accurate and to be able to preach tonight in the unction and power of the Holy Spirit. Again, to the end, Father, that we would be more like Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. So the first point we want to look at, why these things need to be put to death. And here's what Paul says in verses 3, 6, and 7. On account of these, now the these is what he talked about in verse 5. And all of those things regarded around sexual immorality. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. And by the way, he could say the same thing regarding what we're going to look at tonight. In these, you too once walked when you were living in them. Now, why did the believers of Colossae, why did Paul give them reasons why they should put to death remaining sin? Well, for this reason, these things require the judgment of God. God is a righteous God and a just God, and he is going to judge. He's going to judge. What Paul is saying right here is, because of these things, and I mentioned what we looked at last week, the wrath of God is coming. Now, Paul is not saying that believers who fall into sexual sin will lose their salvation. It's not what he's saying at all. Listen, I am so glad that this book, God's Word to us, reveals to us godly men who fell into deep sin. How about David, a man after God's own heart? And we have other examples from the Word of God who men who fell into deep sin. What are believers to do when they fall into sin? You repent and you confess that sin. And what does God promise when you do that? He forgives it. He forgives it. So no true believer is going to face the judgment of God. The wrath and judgment of God are for unbelievers. And there's coming a day when they're going to stand before God in judgment. That's the unbelievers. And that's why it's so critical on a continuing basis within the church that the gospel message of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ is uttered again and again and again. Because we never know when God the Holy Spirit is going to use that message in the life of unbelievers that are here in Gold Country Baptist Church. And they are. Last week I mentioned the fact that we have our heads stuck in the sand if we don't understand that there are Christians within Gold Country Baptist Church who are toying with pornography. But that's true of any church. any church. However, this does not mean that God does not discipline believers when they fall into sin. And God disciplined David. Listen to what Hebrews 12, 5 and 6 says. My son, he could have said, believers, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines one he loves and chastises every son or every believer whom he receives. And God will do that. You can count on it. Why does he do it? Because of his love for us. Why does a parent discipline their children? If they're doing it biblically, they're doing it because of their love for their children. That's why. That's why. And kids need to realize that. Oftentimes it's, I think, hard for kids to put all of this together sometimes. You ought to thank God that you have parents who do that, because it's biblical. The other thing that we can say is the things that he mentioned in verse 5 belong to the old life. The old life. He uses the words, you too once walked, to tell us that. And all the way through this section, he's going to be talking about that. There's the past, there's the old you, but as a believer, there is the new you. You're a new creation. And Paul wants his readers to reflect on that. He wants us to do that. Because now they are different. And the words, they are a new creation in Christ, emphasizes that. So again, it comes back on the basis of who we are, a new creation in Christ. How are we to live? Now, starting at verse 8 and 9, he says this, but now. So he's been talking about the judgment that will come on unbelievers. But he says, but now, he's going to add something. There's more drastic action required. But now you must put them all away. And he's going to give us a list of things that are to be put off from our lives. And I believe that every single one of these causes every single one of us here difficulty. But now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another. So the second list are things that we also need to put to death. All of these belongs to social relationships. God's plan is that we be social creatures, social people. We have relationships. And we have relationships at different level. And we get introduced to that within the family. And what I think is so unique is you can have four kids, two kids, or whatever, and those kids are all different. They're different. They're not the exact print, each one of them. And it's for parents to realize that. So these sins relate to our attitudes to others and the way we speak to them. Now, we have relationship within family, but then we have relationships with other people. And if you're in the workplace, you have that relationship with other people. But I want us to focus on the relationships that we have here in Gold Country Baptist Church. We have the opportunity for all kinds of relationships. And by the way, within a church setting, it's impossible, totally impossible, for you to have the same, maybe intimate relationship with everyone. It's not going to happen. You need to realize that. There's the word click, and by the way, that's not a healthy thing within a church. But it seems like that, no, I shouldn't use the word it seems like. God is going to put in your path people from this church. I really believe that. He's going to do that. So you know when you find that happening, to me that's a way that you can tell, okay, I'm going to probably spend more time with these people. Don't make it a click, but just realize that God is sovereign. And he's going to bring certain people across your path. Bonnie and I just watched a thing that came from the Discovery Channel. You remember the Unabomber? Does anybody remember the Unabomber? It's a special, and it's like a 8-part series on the Unabomber. He mailed out things, packages to people, and inside was a bomb. And he mailed them out to specific people. And now what happens in that series, they're trying to figure out who this is. It went on for a long period of time. And then part of it is they tell about a gentleman from the FBI that was a profiler. And that was just kind of starting. And by taking a manifesto that he wrote and was published in the Washington Post, but he had it before that, he began to analyze the written things within the manifesto. And he was located on the basis of something like, you can have your cake and eat it. On that one phrase. You know what he was like? He was a genius. His IQ was 168. As a boy, he didn't fit. He had one friend in his life. And that's when he was a young boy. That was it. He was a loner. He He marched to a drumbeat that was different. He was a loner. Listen, people need people. And that friend of his that he had turned his back on him. So basically, for all of his life, and by the way, he is still in solitary confinement in Florence, Colorado. I have a niece that's in the prison system, and right around in Florence, there's about 4 different facilities. He's there now. We need to be so careful what comes out of our mouth. So careful. So what we're going to look at tonight is every Christian is a new creation, you're expected to verbalize in a certain way. The old lifestyle is not appropriate. And you see, the people in the church at Colossae were involved in every one of the things mentioned here. But Paul is saying you have to put that to death, and then you have to put on. So conversion to Christ is not a superficial change. It's a radical change. So let's start going over the list. I'm going to put 2 of these together, anger and wrath, because they go together. There's an overlap between these two. Anger, where does that originate? Within. Now, you can be a blower-upper, or you can be the other way, a suppressor of your anger. But the point is, you're an angry person. That's the point. And the wrath is what flows from the anger within. And here's a phrase that we use about a person like this. He has a short fuse. Do you know what happened with a person like this? People begin to distance themselves because they never know when they're going to get blasted. They never know. And what Paul is saying right here is, you have to put off anger within and the wrath that can follow. What's the second thing? Malice. A person with malice has vicious cruelty that uses words as weapons. Did you ever hear this? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words, you finish it. Words will never hurt me. That's a lie. That's a lie. Because I bet right now there are some words that come to your mind that somebody has spoken to you and not made it right, and they're there. I've mentioned this before, but when I was teaching school, we had a thing called student study team meetings. And a teacher who was having a concern about a student would turn in that student's name to the student study team. And the people that were a part of that team, a group on a continuing basis, was our principal, myself, sometimes the school psychologist and the referring teacher, and then the parent. I can't tell you how many times we were sitting in that meeting when the parent just broke down. Because the whole thing about school and being at school as an adult here, and their child was having problems, brought to their mind something that was said to them in a school setting. Words are powerful. You know why I know that? Because this book has words that are powerful and can change our life for the good. So be careful if you use words as weapons. We have to use words to communicate, but there's a way in which we do it. And maybe what you do is you need to walk away from the situation and not run away. Walk away for a little bit and then come back. Parents, how many times have you confessed your sin to your children? I think sometimes we expect our children to confess their sins to us. But how many times have you confessed your sin to your children, and especially regarding words? You see, every one of these things that I'm telling you apply to me. They apply to me. Slander. What's slander? It's malicious speech against others. And I think what Paul was thinking about here as he's writing to these people is, he was talking, I think, or probably talking, what can happen within a local church. Slander can go on in a local church. People's names can be dragged through the mud. I haven't talked to Phil about this ever. But I bet if you knew what is said to Phil by people leaving this church, you would be absolutely shocked. And you know who they were slandering to his face? Phil. Listen, there's all kinds of things that you can complain about. You can grumble about. Well, those banners. Why do we have those banners up there? Where did the old ones go? I bet you there are countless people that have done that here. Here's a good one. Here's one I think's at the top of the list. Why do we sing this way at this church? And they have their way of what we ought to be singing here. By the way, I loved the morning service today. I absolutely love that. Because the music focused me on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what I knew was going to happen after that? Phil was going to stand up here. He's going to open the book, and he's going to preach what we all needed to hear. So if you're here tonight and you're a grumbler and you have an axe, something to pick, keep your mouth shut. Just plain keep your mouth shut. Slander. Be careful. Be careful. Obscene talk. Now, I don't think this is referring to what we would call smutty talk. Talk that has a double meaning. I found this out over the years that certain families kind of talk that way. And what I mean is it could be a greater setting. Adults. And I think what is being talked about here is abusive talk. It's put downs. Put downs. So there's a habit that forms. If you start putting down a person, what is that person most likely to do? Retaliate with a better put down. Now, I have said this to people in jest, and as I was preparing this, okay, let me tell you, you could tell this to a person, you know how to lose 10 ugly pounds? Cut off your head. Now, that can be said in jest, but it's a put down, really. Come to see that. That's a put down. So there are certain things that kind of characterize people. So what we do is, with this kind of language, we take every opportunity that we can to put them down. And this is really what happened to the Unabomber in his life. He was put down a lot. And as I said, I think that can kind of become a habit. Now, it doesn't mean you can't kid people and whatever like that. But just be careful. Be careful what you say. And then he ends with this. Do not lie. Paul closes it. Do not lie to one another. This is a huge issue, and especially in our culture. Advertising can be false. Advertising can be a lie. It really doesn't do what it says it will do. And we can get so used to doing this, just shading the truth, maybe just a little bit, but shading the truth. Sometimes maybe to make us look more favorable. And it will just come out sometimes. What is the third point? So all of these have to do with putting off. Now, what we get to the next section, Paul is going to talk about putting on. Because that's not all you do. And I'm going to keep saying this. You don't just put off, you put on. Put off the old self and put on the new self. And this is found in 9 through 11. Here's what Paul says. Seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. So Paul closes this section by restating the principle, sin must be put to death. Why? Because Christians are those that have undergone a dramatic change, a radical change. They're a new creation in Christ. And putting sin to death in our life is the first step. And the reason why we need to do this is simply that we're a new creation. But then Paul uses these words. Paul describes the new self as being renewed in knowledge. And that's why it is so important that you and I be in this book and you and I make a priority of being here at church unless providentially detained. What we're being talked about here is this renewal process begins at conversion and it never ends. It continues all of our life. We never arrive. We're always fighting sin. And what he does in verse 11 at the end, he illustrates that the church is a very diverse group. Now, I have no trouble recognizing you by face because we don't all look alike. We don't all look alike. We're diverse in that way. But Paul does something here. He talks about groups of people who are diverse from one another, and yet they belong to the same body of Christ. Listen to what he says. In the same body of Christ are barbarians. Who is that? They're non-Greek speakers who were considered uncivilized by Greeks. That's who they were. And they were a part of the body of Christ. Scythian. This is a good one. They were an uncultured slave class from the tribes around the Black Sea. And they were known for their uncouth ways and speech. Here's what the historian Josephus said about them. They were little better than wild beasts. And yet, do you know what God did? He saved their soul. That's what he did. He saved their soul. Isn't that amazing? And now they were a part of the body of Christ. So whatever the distinction, and here's how Paul puts it, Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, Christ is all and in all. So Christ's love crosses all boundaries. Do you know what happens in prisons? People come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior in a prison. They do. And maybe they never get out of their prison. But they're new creatures in Christ. That's who they are. Unity in Christ does not mandate or imply uniformity of function or capacity. The church is characterized by diversity in many, many different ways, and that is so wholesome. It seems to me that when God puts two people together in marriage, that very often they're really different people in their personalities. I believe that happens because the purpose of marriage is to make you more Christ-like. And you need somebody to get under your skin every once in a while, don't you? Or a brother or a sister. Whoa. That's why we need to be patient. That's why we need to look inward first rather than looking out there and at all the other people. Have you ever been sitting here in the morning and thought, boy, I hope so-and-so is here to hear this message? They're probably thinking the same thing about you. Diversity. I love diversity. I think it's healthy. It will stretch us. It will cause us to, I think, to live closer to Christ. Because you see, we know what we're capable of. We know that. Because we, and only we, and God know our thought life. How would you like if on a screen, all of a sudden, the week that we just have lived, all your thoughts were just put up there in visual form? Whoa. So I have one question. Are you putting death sins of speech? And I ask myself that too. Am I putting to death sins of speech? Pray that the Holy Spirit would make you more sensitive to your speech. And that's why we have family units, because it's there that people know us best. And it's there that God will use them to point out sin in our lives. The next time I preach, we're going to be looking verse 12 on. I'm going to read how that starts. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. And then he goes on. See, that's the put on part. We put off, but then we put on. So in our time of reflection tonight, reflect on what you've heard about the words and what can come out of our mouth. And then I'll pray, and then we'll have a closing. Father God, you are a gracious God, and you haven't left us to wonder about how we're to be like as believers, both concerning the putting off, and then next time we meet, we're going to be looking at putting on. Father, you know us through and through, and you're the only one who knows us, the triune God, through and through. So I pray, God, that God, your Holy Spirit, would convict each one of us if there are things in our speech that we need to deal with and put off. And I pray, Father, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that would happen in our lives. Help us, Father, to be quick to acknowledge the fact if we have speech that shouldn't be there. So in the week that lies before us, help each one of us to rein ourselves in when it comes to our speech, if it's speech that shouldn't be a part of our lives as a Christian. For we ask it in Jesus' name.